Hey, gang, this is Masad Ayoub. I'm here to tell you to take yourself and ideally your kids and your grandkids to an Appleseed Project shooting event. It's about history, it's about pride in your country, and not incidentally, it's about marksmanship and having a whole lot of fun. I hope to see you there.
Well, I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Our goal is to inform, update, and entertain the new shooter about the many fun and exciting aspects of sports shooting in Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. And remember what they say about opinions, everybody has one. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George Hatch and Tom Donnelly.
Hello and welcome to episode 26 of New Shooter Canada. This week we are going to be talking about preparing for an Appleseed. For me, it'll be my very first Appleseed, so naturally we've got to have Mr. Appleseed himself, Tom Sticks, and the behind-the-scenes manager, Stacy. But before we get to that, I need to touch on something that caused a bit of ruckus last week, and that's ATTs. I had made a comment that if you so much as stop at a Timmy's, you're deviating from your direct route, etc., etc. It's at 22 minutes, 35 seconds of episode 25. You can go back and listen to it. The long and short of it was I called the CFO because I had gotten a couple messages regarding this and thought I better get clarification. And I was wrong. And, of course, I'll bleep that part out.
Who told you to call the CFO?
And Tom was right.
Thank you.
And that's going to get edited out.
And Brian was right.
And I wasn't even going to mention Brian's. God forbid, I'll never hear the end of it. Anyway, yes, Brian Sart messaged me on Facebook. We had gotten an email that we'll read at the end of the show. They don't really so much go on about the ATT, but my comment kind of sparked it. Anyways, so the CFO said that you can make reasonable stops, and that includes food or beverage stops. If you want to stop and get something to eat or stop and get something to drink, gas, bathroom, anything that's reasonable. She said what you cannot do is go to the mall for 2-3 hours or go drive around town running errands.
Thank you.
So that is that. So
can you say it again? You were what, George?
That is that.
Well, that kind of sounds like something we have going on. I have, if I am able to make it up for the Appleseed next weekend, I have to drive through Illinois, or the best route for me is through Illinois. And up until a few months ago, up until 6 months or so ago, they didn't have concealed carry there. Then they got it, and for a while it was iffy on how I could carry through there, but now they've recently, in the last couple months, clarified it, so I can legally carry through there as long as I'm not making any big deviations, but I can, you know, deviate as far as for gas and food and you know, lodging, but other than that, I can't, so
yeah,
sounds cool.
Well, the comment that I had made, the context was driving from your home to the range, not driving inter-province to a gun match, because Tom had challenged me on that and said, well, you know, you're 3 hours away from where you're shooting at a, you know, XYZ, whatever. You know, you need to stop for stuff. And I had agreed to that. I was thinking that if you're in the city driving from your house to your home range. But even then, as long as it's reasonable, stopping for food is reasonable. So,
yeah, because we actually need permission slips to take our handguns anywhere. You need an actual piece of paper from the CFO saying, yes, you have permission to do that. I knew it was permitted because I actually called him about 10, 15 years ago because we used to haul. The range I shot at was outside, and it was a 30-minute drive home. So all of us would meet in Timmy's just to warm up because we're outside for a couple hours, and we'd be in Timmy's for 20 minutes, and then we'd continue our drive home. And I called them. They did say we could stop to warm up. So
actually, you know, I'm glad you had mentioned that because we are recording on March 15th. The problem with that, Tom, is 2 years ago, I didn't need an invitation letter to drive to somebody else's range for a cowboy shoot. Now I do. So, you know, people are listening to this, you know, 2-3 years, who knows how far into the future. It's still good to call the CFO and just see what they have to say about it. Don't take my word for it, because clearly I was wrong. But it just that's one of the frustrating things with the CFOs is that it's so arbitrary. They just make the rules up as they go along and as they seem fit. And, you know.
Well, hopefully when this common sense legislation comes through, we won't need Mr. Wyatt's permission, and he can, you know what he can do. I won't say it.
So that's the ATT clarification. So, did you want to take the first news story? Oh, maybe we should introduce our guests a little more.
I've been waiting to. You're the lead host. Usually you introduce me and everybody else. But.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so before we get into the news, we're only going to do one quick story tonight. So we have joining us today Styx from Armed Squirrel Podcast. Say hi, Tom. Or hi,
hello. Oh, you're Tom, not my Tom.
Yeah, which one of you that's you call Tom?
Toby's Tom.
Toby's
Tom.
Oh, God, that sounds really funny there, but Sticks. Anyway, Sticks. Hey, y'all.
And we have Miss Stacy. Say hi, Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
And Stacy's the behind the scenes for Armed Squirrel.
She's the administrative adult supervision for the podcast.
Yep. I've got no segue.
I'm so hyped up on coffee, I don't know what to say.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so... That's who's joining us today. All right, save me, Tom. How about you do the news story, and then we'll get into our main topic.
Guns and news. Well, the big thing this week was that Prime Minister Harper was speaking to some rural thing out in Saskatchewan. And well, I'll just read what the story says. When asked about new firearms legislation at an event in Saskatchewan, Prime Minister Stephen Harper said there were too many restrictions on gun ownership, which he added is important to the livelihood of rural people, recreation, and personal safety. The Prime Minister said, my wife is from a rural area, and obviously gun ownership wasn't just for the farm, but it was for a certain level of security when we were away from our immediate police assistance. He said during a question and answer session in Saskatchewan, the Association of Rural Municipalities, guns are something people need to use for recreation, and a vast majority of them do it safely. The comment was in response to a question about Bill C-42, known as the Common Sense Firearm Legislation. The act would curtail the discretionary authority of the Chief Firearms Officer, which we were just talking about in our ATTs, according to the Library of Parliament. What we are trying to do with the legislation are some things that will both increase safety around the acquisition and use of firearms, but also deal with some of the bureaucracy and excessive red tape. In some provinces, especially Ontario, those firearms officers have exercised their authority in extreme arbitrary ways, such as the permission slip that George was talking about. And Harper also alluded to some of the government's crime policies. We brought in tough penalties for criminal misuse of firearms. And I'm always amazed at our opponents who demand that we bring in restrictions on law-abiding owners, but actually oppose us bringing in any penalties for people who actually commit crime using guns, Harper told an audience of Fisher and Hunters in Sault Ste. Marie last October. Because a lot of these, the NDP and Liberal basically want to effectively try to put back a long gun registry back through the back door. So it's nice to see some nice positive program comments from our Prime Minister, and hopefully C-42 gets past the second reading and we have some changes and are no longer under the scrutiny of the CFO.
You know what really kind of surprises me is this is kind of a really ballsy political move for him, because it's one thing to have the firearms legislation, but now he's going a step further and saying, you know, well, in rural situations, yeah, they may need it for self-defense and stuff. And this is an election year.
Well, that's why he's saying it. And he's not only doing rural, he's also saying for recreation, recreational use as well as personal safety.
Well, yeah, but let's be honest. A liberal gun owner is still going to vote liberal.
True.
They're not going to vote for Harper. So, you know, he's risking alienating the non-gun owners that are kind of on the fence. Hey, all the power to them. This is awesome. I think it's a rather gutsy move to be really slinging this much pro-gun stuff in an election year. I don't think gun owners have enough to get are powerful enough to get them elected. I just think it's just kind of brazen.
Did you read the Facebook feed? CFTO had a poll, and I believe Sean put it up, that they wanted to know if people favored the use of firearms for self-protection in rural areas. And I believe the results were 76% said yes and 23% no. And then they had a little footnote underneath it saying it was the largest turnout in a poll that they've ever had in history. Of course, they put it on Facebook, and it went on the Friends of the NFA, and the CSSA got a hold of it, and every single gun owner voted in that poll, and we blew all their past stats out of the water. So,
yeah, it was 70-30 when I did my vote on it.
Yeah, it went up to 76.
Cool.
Now, as an outsider looking in, I read about this when this was first being discussed, and my immediate thought was, this is definitely something to help him get, you know, shooting-minded people or gun folks leaning a little more in his direction. But, George, you said that there are a lot of liberal-minded or liberal gun folks in Canada, and we have the same issue here. But I think when we have a pro-gun politician that is up for election, I think that they do look a little more toward that because that is something that's very important to people.
Yeah, down in the States, it works in their favor. But here in Canada, it doesn't. We don't have the same gun culture in Canada as you do in the States. Like, pretty much, you could paint with a fairly broad brush and say that if a person's a gun owner, chances are they're conservative, or at least conservative-minded. But there's always an exception to every rule. So I'm sure there's liberal-minded folks out there that enjoy shooting. But it's party lines are a lot harder than issue lines.
We usually refer to those people as FUDs.
Right.
Because you have them at, a lot of gun clubs have them, because the FUDs tend to be the people that are non-pistol shooters. They tend to be just people that just trap and skeet. They have no use for anybody that wants to shoot an AR. They have no use for anybody that wants to shoot a pistol. They just want their own little cliche and their liberal FUDs, and they want things their way. They don't want us to have all the freedoms and all the firearms that we once had. They're quite happy to have their trap guns and shoot once a week and screw everybody else. So they will vote liberal again. So hopefully the Prime Minister putting a little spin on having them for self-defense might influence a few of the FUDs out there to go over to conservatives, because if the liberals get back in again, our freedoms are just going to get flushed down the toilet.
Well, how hard is it to argue with the self-defense part, if nothing else, because the self-defense is a God-given right. It's not a right that the Crown should give you or allow you. And I know that y'all have a little bit or a much different view, or not necessarily y'all, but there is a much different view in Canada of that. But I mean, facts are facts. If you can protect yourself and you have someone that's standing up saying it is all right for you to protect yourself, hey, maybe that'll help some folks lean his way.
I hope so, because hopefully, in the past, that the Liberal and both the NDP, their mandate is, well, if you have a problem, call the police. And we both know what the police do. They just do cleanup. They don't do any prevention. So people should have the right to defend their lives if it's in jeopardy. The problem here, too, is that if you do defend your life and with a firearm, depending on the province you're in, especially in Quebec, for example, you use a handgun to defend yourself, and even if it's legal to do it, you'll get charged, you'll go to jail, and you will spend all kinds of money defending yourself. It varies from province to province. It could be a clean cut of self-defense. But well, the last, when we did the note on the training center, the Quebec CFO said specifically they will charge anybody who defends himself with a restricted firearm, which is, it's all political. I agree with you, Sticks. It's a God-given right to protect the life of your home and your family, and you should be able to use whatever tool is at your disposal, you know, safely and legally.
But when you're loyal subjects of the Queen and you're constantly, you know, mother may I, we don't have the same self-preservation. In our culture, as with the states, because the states had to fight for their freedom.
You know, actually, we do.
Mother Queen gave us ours.
We do, under British common law, we do have the right to defend ourselves, but the Liberals will tell you that we don't. But in the laws, we do have that right, but the Liberals keep piling stuff on top of it.
We have lots of rights in the laws that we're not allowed to have. We're allowed. We have the legal right to carry a firearm.
Yeah.
Good luck getting to have and exercise that right. It's a mindset cultural thing, because we didn't have to fight for our freedom. It was just given to us after our politicians said, "Mother, may I?" We don't have that instilled. Some of us do. Like, you know, I shouldn't just be too derogatory, but there is a very, very distinct difference in our two cultures, which segues into Appleseed, speaking of revolutions and fighting for your freedom.
What is Appleseed?
Okay, but hey, I segued. I was enjoying my moment. I actually had an awesome segue.
It was going really good, and then the brakes fell off.
And then I didn't know what to do with it. I'm like, wow, I'm here now. What do I do?
Well, why don't we ask Stacy? Stacy, what actually is Appleseed? You need to tell our listeners what an Appleseed event is.
Well, Appleseed is a 501c3, which means we're nonprofit. What we do over a two-day instruction weekend is we teach you rifle marksmanship, along with the history of what happened on April 19th, 1775, which was the start of the Revolutionary War.
And let me add something to that, or actually correct something she said. There are many types of nonprofit groups. We're a 501c3, which is not only nonprofit, but nonprofit political.
So you don't endorse any political party at all?
Correct. The only politics we talk at an Appleseed event are 1775 politics. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't relate to things going on today, or, you know, the potential future things that could go on, but we are totally apolitical, and it is actually against our bylaws to talk about modern-day politics. And I hate to correct Stacy, because that will come back on me.
That's okay. That's just that brand new red hat showing through.
The one thing I noticed about your past episodes, too, is that there's not always the marksmanship portion. You can go into a school and just teach strictly the historical aspect of Appleseeds. So if you've got a non-gun-friendly environment, you could still approach it from the history standpoint.
Yes, that's the difference between an Appleseed event and a Liberty Seed event. Okay. The Liberty Seed is the history only, and we have some. That's where some of our, in my mind, better storytellers come out. Are the Liberty Seed storytellers? They go to libraries, schools, political or not political, civic functions and gatherings, and will tell the stories. And not everybody at these events or where they take the Liberty Seeds are anti-gun by any means. It's just, you know, areas that are non-conducive. You know, we're wanting to introduce these school kids to it at a library, or, you know, maybe even, you know, it's something that doesn't even relate to school kids. That's, you know, for adults. And yeah, they seem to be, at least from what I know of them, some of our better storytellers.
And at least at that event, you can drop the seed for the marksmanship program if anybody's interested.
Exactly.
All right, cool. So the purpose of this show is kind of more, I'm being a bit selfish, because I'm getting ready, as everyone in Facebook land and podcast land knows, I'll be one of the attendees this weekend at the Michigan Appleseed. So I thought, instead of just going on the website and, you know, finding out what I need to bring with me, I thought, hey, let's do a show, and then that way others that are preparing don't have to, can just enjoy and listen and whatnot. So let's start with one thing that I noticed in other shows similar to this. One thing that gets missed quite often is ground covering. And I believe you kind of touched on that your last show, Sticks. But let's start with ground covering.
Well, you will see a lot of different things in an Appleseed event for ground covering. What I suggest, and I've heard Stacy suggest the same thing, is a tarp, and then on top of that your mat, for several reasons. For one, most ranges really want us to pick up all of our brass at the end of the day. And most people are very willing to pick up their brass unless it's 22 ammo, and then, you know, hey, just leave it there. But that makes picking up the brass a lot easier. But from what I know of the range that the Appleseed that you're going to is, it's quite muddy right now, so a good tarp underneath your shooting mat will be very nice.
That's a good idea.
And what honestly, I would suggest is not necessarily vinyl or plastic tarp. I would suggest like a canvas painter's tarp or something, because you don't want the slipping and sliding, but you want a little protection from everything underneath.
And your local Blue Hat is taking care of that, because you guys will have tarps under everybody.
And she's providing a mat for me too.
Awesome.
Okay. Because we don't have to pick up any tarps or any mats. We're okay there.
Now what kind of mat? Like, what do you when you say mat, what are you talking about, a mat?
Okay. Something that's gonna give you some cushion from the ground, some protection from the moisture. Definitely something that's wide enough to get your body on, and even have a little extra room for moving around, because you want a place to lay your magazines. You want to be able to lay your rifle there and then get down and into position without having to do a whole lot of shuffling of things. I've seen people use, in my first Appleseed, I used the cheap blue foam mats that you get for camping from Walmart. And then you can use all the way up to the nice mats like Stacy uses and has that she bought at Midway. I use an old, I'm not even sure what its original purpose was, but a piece of military salvage that was that's got some extra padding in it, and it's got wool padding, and I took all the stitches out, and it folds open nice and wide and big for a big man like me. And you want some protection from the ground. You want a little bit of cushion, but you don't want to be slipping and sliding on your mat. I've seen people bring blankets and sleeping bags, and a lot of that stuff is really not going to give you what you need. You need good cushion, but you definitely don't want to, once you've got your elbow into position, your elbow be slipping out from under you and such. Right, mm-hmm. Stacy?
Right, and one of the good things that we've been seeing a lot lately, if you can't get into the actual shooting mats, most stores are having sales on their yoga stuff right now, and the yoga mats tend to work really well.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
That's what Toby bought for his IBC that he's at this weekend.
So that
they normally run like $15.
Okay, so I have to walk in and ask for a yoga mat. Okay.
You've got to do it with your tights on, too.
Oh, God. At least I don't have to wear that tutu anymore. I'm trying to think. I guess Canadian Tire would have something like that, wouldn't they, George? Or do I have to go to a sports
Walmart.
Store?
Walmart should have them.
Okay. There's a Walmart up the street. Maybe I'll check them tonight on the way to the range. I'm still getting a funny look when I asked the lady for a yoga mat.
I still laugh every time I hear one of my Canadian friends mention that they're going to buy something at Canadian Tire other than tires.
We refer to it as crappy tire up
here. Yeah, I was just going to say we call it crappy tire. And, I suppose you could buy tires there. I've never actually looked to see if they even sell tires.
Actually, I did buy a set of tires off them last year. They have great warranty. If you get a nail puncture in your tire, you take it back, they'll replace it. If the tire gets damaged, they'll replace the tire. They're crap tires, but they take care of you if you spend your money there.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so that's the ground covered. Next, what would be the next thing that you got to take into consideration?
Well, you need a sling.
Well, before we get to the equipment, is there anything else? How about clothing? What about clothing? Any considerations for clothing?
Yeah, you definitely want to dress for what weather's going to be. Is potentially going to happen. I know that next weekend I think there's a slight possibility of rain. You want to be able to have a rain jacket, preferably a poncho, something that's going to give you some good cover. You want to be able to dress, because a lot of Michigan days, I lived up there at one point, you start the day off and it'd be very cold, and by early afternoon you'd be sweating in that, those long sleeve shirts and long johns that you wore. So you want to be able to dress down if you can too. You definitely want a hat. You definitely want your protective glasses and earplugs.
Well, Stacy recommended rain gear, so I might just take my rain suit out of the closet, throw it on the floor here, so I'll have it on Friday. Okay, rain gear's packed.
Well, that's just because the range is extremely muddy right now.
Okay, so dress for the weather, bring a hat.
Dress in layers.
Okay.
It's going to be below freezing in the morning, but by noon it's supposed to be almost 55, so.
Okay.
Are you going to have a fire pit?
No.
Say, I'm definitely not coming.
Oh, shut up.
Okay. The fire pit's at her place afterwards, marshmallows, hot chocolate.
Cold beers.
That's a possibility.
Like, the fire pit's still covered in snow, so.
You better get busy. Oh, no, I didn't. Sorry.
Well, she's got teenagers. They can dig it out for us.
Okay. All right, so we've got knots, we've got tarps, dress for the weather, bring a hat.
Chairs.
Dress in layers. Okay.
Yeah, folding chair is very important. I'm glad Stacy mentioned that because that's something a lot of people forget. And we take a lot of breaks, and during these breaks we tell stories. And the last thing you want to do is be trying to have your lunch and listen to a story while you're having to stand up while everybody's sitting in a comfortable folding chair. Chairs are cheap. You can buy them just about anywhere for next to nothing. Bring a good folding chair, and it's always nice to have a little cooler to keep your snacks and water with you.
Yeah, so bring some food, bring some snacks.
All right. Well, I was going to cover that under range bag and other gear after we get through the right area. Sorry.
Well, now that you've mentioned range bag, make sure you have something, because I've seen people come to the range and they just have a box of ammo and the rifles.
Okay. How about we cover that in the range bag and other gear part?
Okay.
Just saying is all.
You want to do it now?
No!
What about now?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, my goodness. I got my teenage daughter ringing my phone off the hook. Daddy, can you come pick me up? I'm like, no, take a bus. So many bus tickets. And you shouldn't have left the house. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm going to go home. I'm like, well, figure it out.
Did you get the studs on your rifle?
No, not yet.
George. So,
right.
George.
No, I went to the gun shop, and the guy's like, yeah, you can come back Monday with your stock and talk to our gunsmith. He goes, I think you need to do this, but I don't want, he'll know better. So,
get your ATT?
I don't need an ATT, because I'm transporting a non-restricted firearm.
Okay. But you applied for, I'm sorry, you mean your Form 6, sorry, that's what I meant to say.
No, I have not got my Form 6 yet, so I got to call them Monday. It's been 3 weeks now, so I emailed it in Tuesday, called Tuesday and emailed it in Tuesday and I haven't heard anything back, so I've got to call Donald at the ATF in Virginia, West Virginia.
Yeah, McCall, they're usually pretty decent to deal with.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was really cool. So, anyways, so moving along.
What's next,
gear.
George? Gear. Okay.
Well, I can understand Stacy and Sticks not following along, but I can see your cursor. So that you have no.
You're typing stuff as I'm going along, Kevin.
I know. You should be able to. You should be of the four of us or the three.
Oh,
of
gear.
You guys.
Okay, that's above rifle. Okay.
Oh
gear.
My goodness.
So you need Lord boots help. And shoes. Depending what the ground's going to be like, right?
Okay, we're done with clothing.
Did you say boots or shoes?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I'm just enjoying watching you get frazzled.
I am.
Okay, so what gear do we need, Stacey?
Okay, rifle. For the gear. For the rifle. Hey, I'm lead host. I'm gonna steer this train wreck. Okay, rifle. What do you need as far as a rifle? What kind of rifle? What caliber? Bolt action? Semi? Muzzle loader? Hey, actually, I was thinking this the other day. Do you guys actually do an apple seed with muzzle loaders?
No.
No.
Why not? Come on. It's the Revolutionary War. They didn't have
Stacy,
or semi-autos back then.
They had muskets.
Stacy, how about I answer this one and you fill in the blanks?
Uh-oh.
All right.
For an apple seed, what is suggested is a semi-automatic magazine fed rifle. That would be some fun. Semi-automatic magazine fed rifle. Reason being is because you will be under time constraints. That being said, I have seen several people in my last Appleseed I was at, a guy, and I did not think he would do it, but he actually shot with a bolt-action 17 HMR, and he ended up shooting a rifleman score.
Excellent.
It took him 2 full days to even get close to that number, and when he did, he finally did. I mean, he put everything together, but it is tough with the bolt action. If that is not what interests you, and just great rifle marksmanship training, by all means, bring your grandfather's gun that you're so proud to own, or whatever is your favorite. There's very few restrictions in Appleseed. Just know that generally on day one, we're shooting at 25 meters.
Meters
and
yards.
We shoot meters.
They're interchangeable.
All right. Well, okay.
There's not a whole lot of difference, though. Okay. We're shooting at 25 yards, meters, whatever you please. We are Canadian-friendly.
Hey, you guys are so Canadian-friendly. You guys are doing a maple seed in Brancroft?
Bancroft,
yeah. Okay, so bolt action, you can use them, but they're very difficult. So
it is difficult. I do have one of the instructors in Arkansas that can shoot with a bolt action and shoot a rifleman score on a regular basis. This is not the norm. He's a freak of nature, and I hope he doesn't listen to this. No, he can shoot very well. Realize that whatever you're shooting, you've got to feed. And a general Appleseed, we can shoot well in excess of 400 rounds over a two-day period. Now, that being said, occasionally at an Appleseed on day two, we get the opportunity to shoot some what we call KD, known distance, and we'll shoot out to 400 meters. And that being said, the 22 is generally not your friend at 400 meters. You may be able to push it out to a couple hundred, but at 400, it's just not very very good for that. So on day two, at times, we do have the opportunity to go shoot known distance, and a center fire is much more preferred there.
Okay, now calibers. Notwithstanding what you just said about the known distance, but doing the 25-meter stuff, any restrictions as far as calibers? I'm assuming 22s are probably recommended.
Stacy?
Actually, it's anything that is 8 millimeter and below.
Oh, so there is...
And allowed by the range.
Yeah.
We do have to follow the range's rules or their suggestions. Some Appleseed has gotten kind of funny at times with semi-automatic 17 HMRs just because some of the early ones had some issues firing out of battery and et cetera. So I think that occasionally they have waivers, and even some ranges have issues with the semi-auto 17 HMRs. There's not too many of them on the market, but, you know, if one shows up, we're definitely going to put them on one end of the range and not put them right in the middle just in case there's an issue, and may even make them sign a separate waiver just to be able to shoot that. But most of the restrictions with caliber are going to be the range's restrictions, not Appleseed's, because if you bring a cannon there, more than likely it would fit within the Appleseed boundaries, but if you can hold that thing to your shoulder and shoot 400 rounds, God bless you.
I guess if you're to, I was just thinking of my lever action, but it's 45, so I don't even know if what that is in millimeters.
Oh, you shoot that.
Yeah,
thanks.
And the millimeters is just a general guideline. We do have some people that do shoot the carbines, and it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure. Like, actually, the next thing I kind of wanted to touch on is the magazines. How many magazines should somebody bring? Please say
at
two
least
is
two.
Good. Okay, good.
At least two.
Because that's all I got, and I was at the gun shop, and like, maybe I should grab an extra one.
Well, it doesn't hurt to have an extra because in foul weather, especially depending on what you're shooting. What are you shooting, by the way, George?
Savage 64.
Okay. Not familiar with that, but I think that's just a stick mag.
Yeah,
the Rugers, Ruger 10/22 is my favorite semi-auto 22 rifle. Just so that's out there. Can have some issues with the magazine in cold or changing weather. I've seen it happen only once, but at that one time it happened to a whole lot of people all day long. So you do want to have some backup. Redundancy never hurt anybody, and if it's a rifle that you're wanting to shoot on a regular basis, it doesn't hurt to buy you an extra mag and have it in your drawer there, George.
Yeah, I've got the one that I had that came with the rifle is just worn out. So I've since bought two more, and I was going to pick up another one, but the gun shop didn't have any, so I was like, oh, hopefully two will be enough. Okay, so that's magazines. We got the rifle covered. We got magazines covered. Anything else firearms? Scopes. Are they allowed? Not allowed? Recommended? What?
That's all up to you.
Let's talk about scope. Oh, well, that was easy enough.
Well, you're gonna get the purists that come to an apple seed and only want to shoot open sights. And again, bless those folks. Apparently, they haven't gotten old yet and need glasses. When you have ailing eyesight like I do, and once you're out of your 20s, a lot of people do. Scopes are good, and you know everybody. All these purists think that if you use a scope, you're just not quite the same shooter. Well, I disagree because you have to still follow through with all of your shooting mechanics. Using a scope versus open sights. Now, what I have heard with the scopes, some shoot bosses will only let you shoot at lower magnification. They don't want you zooming all the way in. You know, if you've got a 3-9x40, they don't want you running it at 9. And that's all, again, dependent on certain shoot bosses.
Okay.
Yeah, Stacy told me she'd make me run my...
Do not bring a red dot. I've seen a few people show up with red dots, and what the red dot is going to do is you generally got a 1 MOA red dot, and that's going to cover part of your target. You're not going to get the accuracy you want.
Yeah, they're a pretty small target. I still have the qualification test that you sent me. And if you're using a red dot and you have those red jacket targets, you won't even see the target with that because the red dot will just disappear on the target because it's a red target.
Right. We call those red coats, but you were close.
Red coats. The British targets. Now, there's four stages to each shooting event.
Hold on. We're not there yet. Follow the show notes.
Yes, mother. Sorry.
Well, I'm trying to type all this down, too, so that I can copy it into the show notes for the website so that I got a list, and then anyone going to an Appleseed can just go to the website and go, okay, I need that.
Birds.
Okay, so red dots are not recommended. Other than that, it's pretty much up to the shooter, and but some shoot bosses may ask for the lowest magnification level on the scope. Is that
correct?
About it for scopes?
Well, we do have... sites, open sites that seem to be pretty popular in the Appleseed events. I've never had them on mine. I've actually never shot anything with them on it, but tech sites seem to be quite favorable with shooting Appleseeds.
What's a tech site?
Is it like an aperture site?
It's got a peep in the back and a guarded pin sight in the front. And most of them are adjustable, and most of them have two different size apertures in the back, so you can switch it from a large hole diameter hole to a smaller diameter hole. Correct, Stacy?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's an aperture sight. Okay, good.
Cool.
Okay. And Tech is a brand. Tech sites are it's a brand.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, so we've got clothing covered off. We've got our rifle. Our caliber, our magazines, and now. Anything else on any of those topics before we move on to range bag and other gear?
No, I'm good.
Nope. Okay.
I just get yelled at if I don't follow the show notes, so I'm shutting up.
I'm scared.
Yes. I'll yell at the guests, too, even though you guys can't see the show notes, but follow along.
Well, they're being created as we're talking, so I'm like, what?
Okay. All right, so range bag and other gear. Now, when I say range bag, it's kind of what everything that's going to be in your range bag that you should bring, and then other gear like chairs, coolers, stuff like that. Now, we've already kind of mentioned the folding chair and the coolers, and I've heard you mention on other shows aspirin. Now, what about Tylenol? Does it, can it be Tylenol, or does it matter? I'm assuming
you can maneuver a choice.
I'm assuming anything non-drowsy.
Yeah, don't go there, Stacy. Pain reliever of your choice may really open it up for some folks. But no, aspirin, Tylenol, just something you are going to feel some pain. I don't care what type of, what kind of shape you're in. You're going to be using muscles and kneeling and standing and getting on your elbows and in positions that you're not normally used to. At the end of the day, I've seen young guys all the way up to old guys that really needed a couple aspirin. It will help you get through the day. It'll help make your next morning better.
Excellent. Okay. So, and while we're kind of on the topic of that, snacks and water. Water's kind of self-explanatory, but what about snacks? What kind of snack ideas? Because I'm assuming you don't want anything really heavy for your stomach if you're going to be laying, shooting prone and stuff. I've never shot prone, so.
You're going to get hungry, and that's going to be a given. You're going to be hungry. So peanuts, jerky, that kind of stuff is all great.
Most apple seeds are outdoors. Most apple seed ranges that we use, for the most part, are in the country. When we tell the stories, the history that we tell through the apple seed, we like, and we don't require, because occasionally you will get the people that have to run down the road to the gas station to get their lunch. But we prefer that you bring a good bag lunch, something that's going to be a nice filling lunch for you. But also bring snacks for in between. You know, if you want to eat a sausage biscuit on your way to the range and then have some trail mix or jerky to get you through until lunch and eat a decent lunch, you know, like George said, you definitely don't want to eat a huge filling lunch because you're going to be down in the dirt and you will regret that. But something to get you through the day, you know, that Snickers bar, because we know that George can get grouchy at the end of the day. And,
my brain's still stuck on this the sausage sandwich. I wonder, is there going to be any sausage breakfast sandwiches at Shea Stacy?
Sausage breakfast sandwiches? No.
We call them sausage biscuits.
That's
it.
Sausage biscuits. I'll have to check. I'll have to check the Shea Stacy menu.
Oh, you're really gonna get us in trouble.
We're both gonna get smacked as soon as she sees us.
Okay. So, all right. So bring lots of snacks. Lots of a good hearty lunch. Now, something else that just kind of crossed my mind while I was sitting here.
Can I just add something about the snacks, George, for any of the Canadian people going over? Do not bring, there's certain food products you cannot bring over the border. So if you're going to grab stuff, grab it once you hit Michigan. Fruit, vegetables, and meat you won't bring, able to bring over the U.S. border. So any food that you eat, buy down there. Don't bring it over.
That's a good
Man, I was hoping y'all were going to bring some of them cheese fries.
Cheese fries. The poutine.
You can bring cheese. You can bring cheese over the border.
You do realize that all you need to do is like make a basket of fries. You put your cheese on top and then gravy.
But it's not. Y'all use cheese curds or something.
Yeah. Well, you guys got cheese curds in the States, don't you?
Yeah, we gotta go to Wisconsin for them.
Oh. Well, we gotta go to Quebec for ours.
Although, I'm coming up there in June. Y'all better have some for me.
Are you kidding? They have them in Wendy's up here. You can get poutine in Wendy's up here.
Yeah,
no, Wendy's, McDonald's has them.
Wendy's does it. Arby's has them. Arby's has a loaded, what do they call them? Loaded curly fry poutine or something like that. It's absolutely awesome. Anyways, this isn't a food show, so.
I've never had poutine, ever.
It's just artery clogging goodness. Actually, I want to tag on onto what you were just saying. Back up to the painkillers. I don't know what's legal and what's not legal to cross the border with, and I really don't have the desire to really look into it to care that much. But I normally, I don't really take painkillers very often, but if I do, I usually take T1s, which are non-prescription but over-the-counter. Like, they're behind the counter because they got codeine in them. So I'm assuming that's probably a no-no at the
border. That's a no-no.
So
anything with codeine, so anything you bring, make sure it's in the original packaging. And I don't think you could bring Tylenol with codeine over the border.
I didn't realize there's a Walmart on every corner, or a Walgreens on every corner.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up, because in Canada we can get it over the counter. We don't need a prescription because I don't know what the codeine content is, but it's low enough that you don't need a prescription for. So a Canadian traveling across the border going, oh, I didn't need a prescription to buy it, hits the border, and then they go, yeah, this has got codeine, it's a narcotic. And then, you know, poor mom and pop Canadian are sitting there going, narco, what? So just something else for the Canadians to keep in mind that are traveling. Just because it's over-the-counter here doesn't necessarily mean you're still going to be able to take it across the border. So I'm going to do what Sticks just suggested. I'm crossing at Port Huron, and actually I'll probably stop in Flint, and I'll stock up in Flint, including any like Advil or Tylenol or anything I'm going to get.
Don't stop in Flint. There is a Walgreens about 4 minutes
Duck
away.
Cover, buddy.
What's wrong with Flint? Nothing wrong with Flint.
When's the last time you've been to downtown Detroit?
Well, I've never been to downtown. I've been to Pontiac.
Okay, but Flint's just as bad.
No, it's not. Flint is.
Yes, it is.
When's the last time you've been there, George?
A year and a half ago? 2 years ago?
Wow, you must have been on the good side. Is there a good side?
By the airport. I was out by the airport. By where the...
Okay, you didn't go to Flint.
That's not Flint.
Flint is pretty rough these days.
I was like, Flint is like number 13 on the most dangerous cities in the United States.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Flint is one of those towns that I make sure I've got a pistol on both sides.
Yeah.
Well, see, Pontiac's always been I dated an American girl a while back, and she lived in Waterford. So every once in a while, we would be out Pontiac way, and it was always lock the doors, windows up, and don't stop for lights. Hopefully we don't have any listeners in Pontiac.
We don't now.
I don't know. It's like a ghost town. Like, it is, there's like nobody there.
That's kind of what Flint has become. If you actually get into the city of Flint, and I know this isn't a travel show, but that is probably one of the towns that I would avoid. Wait till you get close to Battle Creek. Battle Creek is a little bit safer for you.
Well, there you go. That's what I'll do. Because I'm taking what's
75?
No,
69.
Because when you cross at Port Huron, 69 is like right there, and it's a straight shoot right to Flint, and then from there, I believe you start heading south or something. I'd have to look.
Yeah, you go through Lansing and come in that way.
Yeah, Lansing, that's it. Yeah. So.
And if you want, you can stop in Lansing. Just don't stop in Flint.
Okay, I won't stop in Flint. So, all the Canadian travels. I think there was a chop up between Windsor, crossing in Windsor, and crossing in Sarnia. I don't even like driving through Detroit on the expressways, let alone through the actual city of Detroit. So I'm crossing in Sarnia, and it's only an hour away, and that's the border, that's the crossing I'm most familiar with. So I don't know where the other guys are crossing. There was kind of some chat back and forth about Windsor or Sarnia, but I like Port Huron. Port Huron's a nice town.
I've heard that.
Yeah. It's a border town, right? It's a, you know, quaint little village. It's not really that big, and it's nice. Half the population's Canadians over there shopping.
Probably.
I figured it'd be the other way around.
No.
Old folks going into Canada to get their drugs.
Maybe. That could be. So, okay, so.
I meant the legal drugs, George.
Well, the medication's cheaper up here. A lot of Americans will come up here to do it.
They send buses over there just for that purpose.
Yeah.
Okay.
American painkillers, George.
George, let me throw something else at your range bag.
Oh, I was just trying to steer us back to the range bag.
Ears and eyes, of course. That's a given. Something I've seen a lot of people not have and really wish they had at Apple Seeds is one of the little pop-up awning tents to give you some shade. Whether it be to give you some shade or some rain protection, I always make sure I take a couple of those. They have saved me from some sunburn. Stacy wouldn't know anything about that because you can get sunburned and minus freezing weather. And they'll protect you from the rain, too.
And we have four.
That you think all of them guys are going to get under four little awnings?
Jay's not coming. There'll be room for
Okay, so we're down to three. And I hate that he's not coming.
I know. I was looking forward to meeting him. So I'd suggest, maybe a cleaning kit in your range bag, too?
Oh, yes.
So just, basically the general things you would normally bring to your range. Now, what about, I'm assuming there's going to be stands at the range, but, bring, staplers and stuff like that, or, black marker for marking targets. Do you guys mark targets?
Yes, we do, and make sure you have staplers and lots of staples.
It's packed in the range bag.
Yeah, it's always suggested, George. Usually about a third of the people will have staplers and share them around, but it makes it go a lot quicker if everybody's got their own and quick and easy.
Yeah, that's a staple in my – well, I don't have a range bag. I have an ammo can because, real men use ammo cans. Because when you run out of – in the zombie apocalypse, when you run out of ammo, you can start bludgeoning them with your ammo can.
And as Stacy alluded to earlier, a range bag or something to keep everything all tight and close is a great idea because I have seen the guy show up with a Walmart bag and with his snacks, food, and ammo all in it, and that doesn't really work too well.
I'm just looking to make sure my stapler is in my range bag. Where is it? We'll need that. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm all set. Stapler.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to just kind of take us back to the caliber portion just for a second, and just so I can put this in the show notes for future listeners, ammo count, or round count. How many rounds should somebody bring?
At least 400.
At least 400. So if you buy one of those bulk packs of 500, you're good.
Should be. Very rarely do we go over.
Now, I had my buddy Paul earlier who is planning on attending, and he told me what he had for ammo, and he said, so I'll be good just with the bucket of bullets. And I told him absolutely not because he hasn't run any of those through his rifle, so bring some of the other stuff just in case you get a bad batch of ammo. Don't count on it's not going to hurt you, George, to have an extra brick with you, and we want you throughout the 2 days, if at all possible, we want you shooting the same kind of ammo over and over and over because one ammo is going to hit a whole lot different than the other.
Now, when you say a brick, what's that? What's a brick? Is that the 500-pound bulk?
Yeah, we discussed that off air, but a brick is, generally a 500-round round box.
Yeah, no, I'm asking for any new shooters that may not know the lingo.
Make sure that it's ammo that you have run through your rifle and your rifle likes. I mean, every rifle is different out there. My 10/22 can love CCI mini mags, and Stacy's might hate them.
Yeah.
And, I can run golden bullets and somebody else with the same gun may not be able to. So bring something as a backup. It's always a good idea.
I'm running, I've got a brick of Federal, which is not my favorite ammo, but I know it goes through my rifle because I've probably put, at least 2,000 rounds of that Federal stuff through my rifle. I'm not a big fan of it. It's not the greatest quality, but I know my rifle will run it. So what I'm doing right now is I'm buying the little packs of 50 or 100 of different brands to see if there's something that my rifle might like better. And that's kind of the process I'm doing right now. I haven't touched the Federal because that's going to be my apple seed. But if I can find something better, then I'll bring that too. As long as it's either Federal or CCI because those are the only two manufacturers I got on my Form 6. All right. So that is that. Thomas, get off the show notes.
I didn't touch them.
I just saw you flicker on them.
I just went to grab my knife, and I touched the mouse.
Okay, so we've got, I think we've got pretty much everything covered. Now, is there anything else that that we haven't touched on or that is a common thing people forget?
You should always bring a good snack for the instructors. You know, like apple for the teacher, jerky for the instructors.
Maybe some extra ammunition to pass their way through.
Hey, bribery never hurt.
A 26er for Sunday night.
There you go. I'm just totally kidding there. Stacy's over there.
No, he's not.
I can see Stacy all pouted up and mad at me right now for that comment.
Nope, it's all good.
Now, one thing, I just lost it. Oh, my goodness. It popped in my head and popped out as quickly as it...
Probably because that text message came through and you were paying more attention to it.
That wasn't me.
Because, see, I care about the listeners, and I mute my phone.
I did, but it just buzzed, so I turned it back on.
Okay, I lost what I was just going to say. That about runs me out of my questions.
Well, I can tell you the biggest thing that we ask you to bring to an Appleseed is a teachable mind. Don't come, I don't care what skill level a shooter you are, come with an open mind to us teaching you. I actually got a friend that came to an Appleseed, and he's going to come to my April 19th one as his second and ask for an orange hat. And on day one, he wanted to do everything his way. Every point of instruction he was given, I watched him argue. I watched him say, well, wouldn't this be better? And until he broke that and cleared that from his mind, he was going nowhere with the instruction. But the minute he finally decided to just have an open mind and listen to the instruction, it all started coming to him. This guy is a Marine. I mean, he's a former Marine, an inactive Marine, but he's a Marine. So he came with this, I've already been through training. Well, I don't care what skill level you are, please come with an open, teachable mind.
Okay, good advice.
I think that's why you find a lot of women are a better shot out of the gate, because they don't have that. They don't bring that ego that a lot of times men do.
You've apparently not been to the range with Stacy.
No, I have not.
Well, wait till you have. And then she challenges you. And then she kicks your butt.
Have you seen the targets I post up on Facebook? I need instruction. I am bringing a teachable attitude. Because just look at my targets on Facebook. It speaks for themselves. So.
I'm not touching that.
By me saying she kicks your butt, I was not at all alluding to the fact that she's ever kicked mine. I was just saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean in the physical sense or in the target sense?
Oh, he means in the target sense.
Okay.
My all three of my girls can outshoot me, and they hardly go to the range shooting. My youngest is just an absolute sharpshooter. She is amazing with a rifle. And
Stacy is too. So
yeah,
I'm trying to psych her up so that next time I shoot against her, that I can beat her. But if I get in her head a little bit, I might be able to beat her next time.
Doubtful.
Have you ever actually beaten her?
Oh yes. Okay. And then there's pistol competitions.
Oh shush. I had it out today.
How did it shoot?
It's about 6 inches low.
It went bang. That's how it shot.
But how did the group, though?
Come on, that was low.
I know, but but how did the group, you're getting half-decent groups with the short barrel?
Half-decent, yeah. They're not great, but it's not a precision pistol, so.
It's a Glock, isn't it?
It's a Glock 42. Oh,
well, there you go. That's why it's not precision.
Oh, good God, shut up.
Hey, you know what? I've never shot a Glock, so I don't really care. I don't get in the whole Glock 1911 debate. You know, it's like car guys. Ford and Chevy, Ford versus Chevy. You know what? Turn the ignition, it goes vroom vroom. That's all I care.
I'm not saying a word.
Hey, when I pull the trigger and it goes bang, and then a hole appears on the paper, that's all I'm there for.
If I had a CCW, I'd carry a Glock. But for target shooting, I won't touch them. For competition, I won't use them. But if I had to defend my life with one, I would take a Glock. Because they go bang every time.
Well, there you go. So, all right. Anything else, guys?
Not that I can think of.
Crickets. Okay.
It's a big cricket.
So I'm trying to run through my head what all issues I've seen happen before. The biggest thing is the teachable attitude. I mean, it'll amaze you how much difference that can make.
Well, I'm sure you do get a lot of guys that show up that have been shooting for a long time, and they think they know it all, and sometimes they don't.
Well, my first Appleseed, I didn't consider myself an expert or even top-notch shooter by any means, but I did go in with not really a macho attitude, but I've shot all my life attitude. And it was hard to break myself of certain things, and I was never really taught how to shoot. It's just one of them guy things, I guess, a southern guy thing. I my dad and my grandfather, taught me to shoot a little bit, but I never had any true instruction. So when I actually got instruction, it was hard to break the cycle of what I had already in my mind that worked. When we shoot an Appleseed, you start off the day by shooting a benchmark target. We'll shoot a couple different things, but then we'll shoot a red coat's target and use that as our benchmark. You're going to use that shooting it any way you desire, George, from any position, and all we're telling you is the round counts and how many to put on each silhouette there. And at the end of the day and end of the weekend, we're going to shoot one after you've had instruction to compare them to. Well, my first red coat's target, I went up there, I shot it, and I aced it. I shot all 13 shots were on target. I still got the target here in my office. And then I thought, oh, boy, I'm golden. And, the instructor even said that, boy, you're going to do well. And then till I started taking points of instruction and my shooting started going, my group started opening up and going downhill for a little bit. And then instead of continuing with listening to the instructors, I thought, well, I was shooting better before. I'm going to just go back to my way of shooting. And that was the struggle. And until you just let it all go and do what the instructors tell you and follow the points of instruction, they make sense once you put them all together at the end.
Right. Cool. All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end, and we got a couple listener emails, if you guys want to stick around, and we can cover that off, unless you guys need to get going.
I'm good for a few.
Okay, we only got two. I'm going to take the short one, and I'll give the long one to Thomas.
Well, thanks. The one you get about the ATT, I got to read. Okay, cool.
Because, you were right, and I was wrong.
True, okay.
So this gives you...
George, can I stop you?
Sure.
We never went over slings. Slings and sling swivels.
Ah.
There you go. That would be back in the gear section. So, sling.
What type of sling do you need? Do you need the sticks? Not so we're not talking about a regular hunting sling. We're talking about a sling meant to actually give you support shooting the rifle.
Right. And what we suggest in there are the old military slings. They're cotton and or nylon versions available. You can purchase them just about anywhere, but what the reason we like them is the adjustability of it. And Thomas, you said it perfectly, is it's not the sling that's made to throw over your shoulder to carry your rifle with. This is made to be used as part of your firearm. And sling swivels, George, they're the little things that you screw into your stock that hold your swivels.
We've already determined that his stock actually has the inletting parts for the swivels. He just has to drill a hole in the appropriate place. And Stacy actually made us some slings, so we're okay sling-wise.
All right. She made them?
We made them, yeah. We got our own custom New Shooter Canada slings.
Nice.
Because that's how we roll, baby.
No, it's because Stacy's super cool. That's why we got them.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm taking my stock in tomorrow to go over it with the gunsmith at my local shop, and he's going to let me know what I need and whatnot. So I'll have the studs and swivels. And the swivel sizes are inch and a half, is that correct?
Inch and a quarter.
Inch and a quarter to inch and a half. Sometimes you can't find the inch and a quarters, but yes, inch and a quarter to inch and a half.
Okay.
And she yelled at you. Watch it. You're starting to make her mad.
No, that was more directed at you because we argued about that last time.
Oh, burns! Get out of zero.
We never argue.
Okay, we had a discussion about the inch and a half versus inch and a quarter.
That's what she said.
So you bought me inch and a quarter slings, Stacy?
The swivels? Yes, I have them.
She had to buy me, because I couldn't find them up here. She picked them up for me. So I owe her money. I owe her for the sling and I owe her for the swivels. Anything else, George?
Okay. Sorry to bring you back to that, but that is one and very, very important thing. A lot of people show up to the apple seeds with a padded sling that's made to carry your rifle across your shoulder and not to be made to have some adjustability for it and use the way we need it. If you get there to one, usually there's one or two floating around that can be loaned out from the instructors, but don't count on that.
Right.
So they're like the old military slings. They're very long, so you can wrap it around your arm and give you a stable platform?
Correct.
Okay.
Excellent.
So we can segue into your listener email now, George?
Yes. Now, was it two episodes ago when Thomas was editing, he forgot to split the stereo down into mono. Oh, wait, that was me.
Isn't that the lead host's responsibility?
So, and I gave a shout-out to Mark. Actually, the shout-out was to Mark because the Facebook profile name's Mark and Lynn, so I didn't know if it was Mark or Lynn. But apparently it's Mark because he sent in an email. He says, hey there, George. Thanks for the shout-out. I do often listen to the show late Sunday night while I'm out doing chores when my goodness, my eyes are going. We get home from church pretty late most Sunday nights. I'm wondering if you would consider doing a show on cowboy-mounted shooting. I'm a horse trainer and gun nut, so I'm thinking about trying it out here in Manitoba. I've read up on it a bit, but I've gotten out... Oh, my goodness, my eyes. I've read up on it a bit, but haven't gotten out to one of the Manitoba Club practices yet to try it. Mark, oh, my goodness. Mark, I'm sorry for butchering your email.
Letter.
It's not your writing, it's my eyes are just, they're failing me. So, have a great day, Mark. So, thanks, Mark, and double shout out again, because if it wasn't for you listening, I wouldn't have woken up Tuesday morning to, what's wrong with the show? Because my co-host noticed it, but didn't say anything about it. So, good thing we have good listeners out there.
Yeah, but he spotted it the first hour it was out, and when you posted it was 1 o'clock in the morning, so you'd already gone to sleep when I was listening to it.
Yeah.
Okay, but I want to know when you're going to answer him. Are you going to do some cowboy action?
Yeah, we've had a couple,
shooting?
Yeah, we've had a couple people ask about a SAS program, and I just bumped into one of my cowboy buddies at the shop, gun shop, and our first shoot is in... coming up in May, I believe. So once I get the appleseed done and under my belt, then, yeah, I'm going to do a cowboy shooting because season is fast approaching.
And Mark specifically wanted something about mounted shooting.
Yep, that's a part of
SAS. Okay, but I'm really going to hook you up if you just give me a minute and give me the room to do it.
Go for it.
I, last year at SHOT Show, met a very attractive young lady from Canada. She is a big Canadian, and if I remember right, champion cowboy action mounted shooter.
Oh, excellent.
Again, very, very nice looking young lady. I had a great interview with her, a great talk with her. I actually did not, that interview never aired, but I have her contact information. I'm looking at it right here in front of me, so I can share that with you after the show.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be perfect.
Oh, that would be awesome. Because I know there's mounted shooting. I've seen it on YouTube when watching different SAS events on YouTube. And it's pretty awesome. Like, it's, you shoot at balloons and you shoot blanks, but yeah, it's almost like doing
a barrel gun. They do wax bullets, don't they?
No, they just use blanks and then the burnt powder that comes out. Because you got a 360 degree range, right?
True.
Because what it is, it's like, you know, when the rodeo, I'm not a horse guy, Mark, so you're going to have to, you know, I'm sorry for making you kind of cringe your teeth at my lack of knowledge here. But you know, in like the Calgary Stampede, when they're doing those barrel races where they'll shoot across the arena around the barrel and then to the next barrel and around the barrel? Well, that's what they do on the mounted shooting. And then they've got posts with balloons. So you go around the barrel, and as you come around the barrel, you're shooting at the balloon. So you're, like, there is no 180 because you're the whole arena, you're going to be facing every direction in the whole arena. So, yeah, I'm assuming that's why they shoot blanks, because if you shoot wax bullets, you're going to be shooting projectiles, right?
Well, they would melt as soon as they came out of the barrel anyway. You're just pouring hot wax and burnt powder on the balloon. But I'm not sure. We'd have to give this young lady a call and see what she says.
I've never looked that deep into it, so a bit of this is a bit of assumption. So.
Well, we should get her on the show and see what she says.
Absolutely. So there's your answer, Mark. Stay tuned.
Okay, the next email we have is from Dalton. And Dalton wrote in that, so I wanted to send an email because I heard you talking about ATTs in the last show. I won't get into what's reasonable or not, but there are a few things I want to talk about and help prepare a new shooter who have ATTs or those who are not transporting their non-restricted firearms. First off, I fully support the frontline officers who serve us. The reality of the situation is that most frontline officers are not fully aware of the laws regarding transportation and storage, which is understandable as they have likely do not come in contact with firearms a whole lot, and let's face it, our laws aren't easy to understand. This is no excuse, though, and as a gun owner, the onus is on us to prove your innocence. The issue, though, whether or not you are in the right or in the wrong doesn't matter once you've been arrested and your guns are taken away. And that's why it's always best to try and prevent this in the first place. There are a few ways to do this, and I will outline them for you. First, do yourself a favor. Get about 4 plastic page protectors or some other sort of folder plastic page protector. I use our little credit card things myself. And have to fit nicely into your pistol case. Make copies of all your registration certificates and your ATT to transport if you have restricted firearms. And print yourself off copies of your safe transport and storage regulations found on the government website. I also suggest that you print off the RCMP Special Bulletin 27, which deals with 10-round pistol AR magazines, and Beowulf magazines if you own them. Also print off your provincial wildlife for hunting.
Hold on. Is it bulletin number 27 or 72?
I'm sorry, it says 72.
Okay, because he wrote down 72.
And I said 27?
Yeah.
I'm reading too fast. I told you I shouldn't have that espresso before I started. I got to find out where I was. Okay, so if you've owned the Beowulf magazines, print off that. That's basically what he's saying. Also print off your wildlife or hunting regulations. Some provinces have such firearms in case after dark. Okay, I see what he's saying, because if there's some regulations that if you're transporting a hunting area, it has to be cased after dark. Now, if you put these packages together, place one in each of your gun cases and take your restricted firearms in. One in your range bag and one in your ammo bag, and one in your glove compartment or anywhere else you see it fit or you see fit. Not only will this help you if you accidentally forget to put your ATT in the gun case, if you get stopped by the police or NRO or CO, you don't have to open up your gun case in order to show your ATT or other paperwork. Having these documents can help you get out of a blind, especially if the officer doesn't know the law. Second thing is never, ever, ever agree to search of your vehicle or person or property, no matter what. And I agree with you 100% there, Dalton. As much as you may not be doing anything wrong, you might think that refusing a search makes you look guilty. It's a huge headache to be searched. Once again, if the officer doesn't know the law, you can wind up in the police station trying to prove your innocence after you have been impounded and your guns have been seized. I'm sure would be surprised a lot of officers that it's completely legal to have non-restricted firearms. Scroll down. I lost the page here.
Firearms unloaded with a loaded magazine right beside it while transporting.
Because basically most of the cops don't know. They think that all guns have to be trigger locked in the case, and it's not the case with non-restricted. So if your non-restricted firearm isn't trigger locked while transport, it is illegal. It's amazing. I've heard some police believe this is a law. Furthermore, fight the urge to tell the officer you're transporting firearms, which may be difficult since it seems to be the natural thing to do if you don't think you've done anything wrong. Don't ever lie to an officer, but if you don't have to, don't mention firearms or going to the range. It'll make things easier. Remember, use common sense when dealing with the situation. offer the officer a copy of the regulation if he doesn't know what is legal or what is not, and always be prepared to have the proper paperwork and copies of the regulation. All this is not necessary or required by law, but it can end up saving your butt in the end. Anyway, those are just my thoughts on the subject. Hope my email wasn't too long, and I hope it sounds good when you read it. I wish I proofread it first, because I just went over a couple things. Keep up the good work with the podcast, Dalton. Thank you, Dalton. I appreciate you taking the time to write all that information in. We have covered some of this in the past. Did we not? We did talk about the RCM bulletin about safe transport laws. We did talk about keeping that with you when you're traveling to and from the range. And we did talk about keeping copies of all your paperwork with you and not keeping them in the gun case.
Yeah.
But the one thing I really agree with you is that I was listening to a show with lawyer Ed Berlew one day, and he said, duct tape is your friend. You are not required to talk to a police officer, ever.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell him anything.
And there, I've heard it mentioned a couple times. I think it was on Slamfire. It might have been even Canadian Reload Radio. There is one particular non-restricted that looks like a black rifle, like an AR, that is often assumed to be restricted when it actually isn't.
It's the Armalite 180B.
So
it's a polymer lower. It looks like an AR, but it's not.
Yeah, and so I've heard guys recommend if they had that during the time of the long gun registry, then that might be one of the very, very limited good things about the registry, because it would be marked as a non-restricted on that registry.
Actually, it was my friend John has one. And it was actually John from Williams Arms that suggested that he keep the registration certificate for that one gun only.
Oh, then maybe it was you that I got that from then.
It's all good information.
There's going to be little kind of things like that where, you know, it's good to, you know, you're not obligated to, you don't have to. But, again, if it's going to keep you from having to spend 3 hours in the police station, it's, you know, not a bad idea. I'm with Dalton.
Yeah, I would just keep everything out of sight, and if asked, you know, don't lie, but you don't have to say anything to them.
Yep. Were you going to say something, Stux?
I actually was, and I know that the laws are different, and I know that you're dealing with different types of enforcement officers. Now, we have different concealed carry laws state by state here in the U.S., that being said, some states require that you inform an officer if you're pulled over that you have a firearm in your vehicle.
Yeah, I've heard it's like it's so strict that, now correct me if I'm wrong here, because obviously I this is what I've heard, but like they can be as picky as you can't even say hi. You have to say I have a firearm in the vehicle.
And you're probably right there, and it's probably all dependent on, you know, which officer you deal with and how bad of a day he's had.
Yeah, but
personally, and this may be totally different in Canada, personally, I like to go the opposite direction of what Dalton said there. I think it was Dalton. Even in the States where I'm not required to, I want him to know I've got one. I don't want to even think that there was a threat there or that I'm trying to do something underhanded. I'm going to say, sir, I've got a legally registered firearm that is on my right hip. I'm going to keep my hands up here until you're comfortable with me with knowing that. And then if he says, I've had guys say, man, I really appreciate you telling me that. You didn't have to tell me that. Why don't you have a good day and go on about your business?
See, that's a different story, though, because you've got a concealed weapon that can, you know, it's essentially could be a problem or a threat to the police officer. And the fact that you came out and were honest with him, that's a different story. And he's going to respect you for that because you don't have to. But I think what Dalton's getting at is that if you're transporting your guns to and from the range, you're not required to tell him, and he will ask you if he can search the vehicle. And you don't have to let him search the vehicle except for a game officer. Under the Fish and Game Act, a conservation officer does not need a warrant to search any vehicle if he thinks you violated the game rights, the game laws in Ontario.
The other thing also is any pistols, any restricted firearms are trigger locked and then locked in a case and then in your trunk. So it's a bit different kind of dynamic there. Any firearm we're going to have, well, non-restricted, you could transport up in the vehicle with you, but I believe restricted have to be in the trunk, or if you don't have a trunk, the most rear compartment of a vehicle.
No, they have to be out of sight. If you don't have a trunk, like my HR doesn't have a trunk, then it has to be out of sight.
Well, even still, in some of the states here, we have some transportation laws where the firearm has to be inaccessible to you and the magazine in a separate location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what we've got up here. Although, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but transporting, they don't really specify mode of transportation when it comes to non-restricted. Like when I'm about backpacking, that's transporting my firearm. So I can have it unlocked. It has to be unloaded, but I can have it unlocked.
Yeah, that's the only thing on a non-restricted is that it has to be, if it's in an unattended vehicle, it has to be out of sight and it has to be unloaded. But there's nothing in the Firearms Act that says your common rifle or shotgun that's not restricted has to be trigger locked,
yeah,
or in a locked case. I do it. Just what I usually do is put them all in one big, sometimes all in one big case and lock everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And then because my HHR has the folded seats and the case wouldn't fit anyway, I have a big plastic or a big black carpet, and I cover everything with the carpet. So if you pull, if you pull me over and I turn on the lights, you're not going to see anything. Everything's covered under the black tarp.
Yeah, I don't think there's a dead body under there, and I'm going to step back and draw.
But then he says, may I search the vehicle? And you can say, I'm sorry. The thing people have to realize up here.
Do you smell a funny odor, sir?
Do you smell something? Now, the only thing you're scared, if he goes, gee, what, is that leafy green stuff? Then you're trouble. Then he's going to be able to search the vehicle. If he smells drugs or alcohol, he has the right to search the vehicle. You have to give him
that's
a
call. Oregano. I'm on the way home to cook some spaghetti.
Yeah. But I agree with Dalton. Like, don't give him any information that you don't have to. Just be polite and don't lie to him. If he says, if he asks you if you're coming to or from the range, say, yeah, I am. But if he doesn't ask, don't volunteer.
Yeah, and what cop's going to be asking you that, right?
I've been stopped through ride going to the gun club, and he looked and he saw the cases in the back, and he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going up to the range. He goes, oh, what club you belong to? And I told him. He said, oh, you been drinking tonight? I said, no, sir. I said, okay, have a good night. He was more worried about people drinking and driving than me going up to the gun club, so.
Yeah, I guess if they're visible, then, yeah, I guess they may ask. But like mine are in my trunk, so they cops can't see it, so they don't know way.
I didn't mean to at all sound like I think that we need to, march and in step with whatever the police require, because some of the best training out there is going to tell you just the opposite. I mean, even Masada Yub's going to tell you in certain situations you use zip it, don't talk about anything, and no sir, you can't search. I do think that at times that a little pre-knowledge of something is going to make me, if I were an officer, feel a little more secure. Well, the dude didn't have to tell me, and he told me, and hey, let's let him go. He's one of the good guys.
Yeah.
Versus definitely finding out, that if he does, all of a sudden, like those cops tend to do here anyway, they'll say, I've got a reason now to search and open your trunk. Why didn't you tell me you had firearms in your trunk, And then you've become the bad guy in that instance. So I'm a little bit on lean either way on that, I guess. I'll shut up now.
I guess
Stacey
it depends.
Starts talk.
Now just be careful when you straddle that fence. Eh? You don't want
to. Don't
I got a lot about it, Stacey. Okay, we got one more shout out here, and since this one was to Tom because Melissa, doesn't like me, maybe.
I think she heard all the Stacey iTunes stuff, so I actually got a message from Melissa Lee, and she says, "Hi Thomas, happen to have iTunes up and listening to it on your latest episode. The last review was January 26th. Good show, keep them coming." And that was from Mrs. Lee, Toby's wife.
Awesome.
I'm not saying anything else. I'll just get yelled at from her later, so I won't pull a Trevor.
Well, I know how to check them now. So.
And, Stacey teach you?
Yep. And I just pulled up YouTube. I'm tired. Can you tell? going to get iTunes reviews on YouTube. Oh, my goodness.
But I think, well, I could do you a favor and just tell you that there's nothing new there.
Yeah, Thomas had told me that earlier. So yep. All right. Well, that concludes episode... What episode are we on? 26?
Yeah, 26.
So thank you, everyone, for listening, subscribing, and downloading. And all the contact info will be with Wanda on the other side of the music. So,
and Stacy, thank you very much for taking the time out to join us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Before we go, actually, thank you, Thomas, for interrupting me.
I'm very good at it.
Sticks, how about you plug your stuff? I always forget this. I just end the show and then, like, never give the guests any chance to plug their stuff. Because I'm a...
Oh, you mean my podcast?
Yeah.
You can find us at www.armedsquirrelsproject.com. Wonderful website designed by Stacy. Or you can find us on Facebook at the same name. You can also find Project Appleseed. If you're interested in checking out one, you live in the States, go check out appleseedinfo.org. The same location, you can also scroll through and maybe even find out that there's one in Quebec coming up, in Bancroft, Quebec, coming up very soon at Appleseed. Other than that, that's about it.
Where is Bancroft? That's in Ontario.
It's in Ontario.
You know where Bancroft is?
Yeah, you say Quebec. I'm like, well, I know that's wrong.
Not Bancroft's really. About an hour and a half from me. You go up to 35-115, yeah.
Towards Ottawa?
You go up to towards Peterborough, and you bank off, and I think you go up 28. It's north of Lakefield, past Burley Falls.
Okay.
It's about an hour and a half from me.
So it's more
exactly where I was thinking it was.
Well, yeah, I think it's off 28.
I knew it was way, way east of where I am. It would.
Stacy going up for that one?
Stacy's Appleseed is closer for me than the maple seed is.
I know. Are you coming to the maple seed, Stacy?
I'm thinking about it. The problem is it's my birthday, so.
Hey, well, even better, we can have
travel to a foreign country to celebrate kicking our butts. In 1775. What better way to celebrate your birthday?
Yeah, well, I'm gone the weekend before that and 2 weeks after that, so.
Her husband might have other plans for her on her birthday. Or her parents.
Yeah, the only two American reviews we have are from Tim and Cornfed. That's it. Because our U.S. listeners don't like us.
Well, we'll have to change that.
My sense of humor is just...
Send your hate mail to George at New Shooter Canada.
So.
Attention, George.
And I didn't check for Canadian ones. So if there's any Canadian ones, we'll grab them next week. And until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and shooting.
And take your kids shooting. Good night, everybody.
Say good night, Tom. Or stay.
Good night, Tim.
Protect your
good night.
Good night. Protect your tail.
Go get a piece of tail.
A little giggle in the background.
Okay. That's the show.
I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
God made the animals, and God made the trees. God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. You tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Did we lose Thomas?
I'm kind of thinking that. Thomas, come back.
No, I don't hear anybody.
We hear you.
That's better.
Can you hear us now?
That's definitely going to need to be edited out. I just wrote in the show notes, edit 43 minutes in. Thomas, can you hear us? Hold on. Is he texting me?
Oh, you're back.
I never left.
I lost everybody for a second there. Everybody
I just gave us a minute to talk bad about you.
We all muted our microphones just to mess with you.
Just the paranoia is creeping back again. I can see those black helicopters circling the house.
This ought to bring the 60s back to him. Watch this.
Oh, man. I know I should have dropped that acid last year.
Okay.
Is that last show again?
No, we're still here. Can you hear us? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I got you all now.
Okay.
That mute button is...
Okay. Can we start up again?
Sure.
Okay. Hold on a sec. Give me 5 seconds here so I can slice and dice in space.
You love editing.
Yeah, well, this little definitely needs to be edited out, especially now that I just swore. Okay, now we'll put in the edit point, so 5 seconds.